You know those desolate times when there's nothing good to watch on TV, nothing good to rent at the video store, nothing good playing at the movies? Well, critic Maureen Corrigan has been having one of those stretches when there seems to be nothing good to read.
I've read so many mediocre to downright lousy new novels lately, I'm beginning to think that May is to publishers what January is to retailers, a dead month in which nothing but limp merchandise is left on the shelves. I've been so discouraged by these dull books, I've even caught myself thinking the one thought forbidden to all reviewers: maybe it's me. I wish I could say that Robert Ward's novel, The King of Cards, has broken this losing streak, but although it's a lot better than the clunkers I've been reading, I can't rave about it. As a cure for the book blahs, The King of Cards is like taking aspirin when what I really need is an antibiotic. The King of Cards, like Ward's earlier wonderful novel, Red Baker, takes place in Baltimore and opens with a fantasy I bet a lot of us share. Tommy Fallon, a native son of Baltimore and now a famous writer, has returned to his alma mater to receive an honorary doctorate. Being on campus again stirs up Tommy's memories of his confused undergraduate days in the mid-60s. Back then, he was torn between a loyalty to his working-class background and a fierce desire to transcend it by becoming an ivory tower academic who prefers Henry James to the Orioles. I'm partial to these updated, how green was my valley kind of stories, and so I was moved by Ward's descriptions of Tommy's struggle against what he calls the willed stupidity of his hometown. Quoting another native son, H.L. Mencken, Tommy rails against his fellow Baltimoreans, especially his parents. Tommy's father once wanted to be a painter, but his ambitions were destroyed by the Depression. Now he defensively ridicules Tommy's dreams by telling him that college is only for pinheads and fairies. Tommy's mother chimes in and tells him scare stories that are supposed to act as talismans against wanderlust. Ward pays these ordinary people the respect of making them complex and suggests they're greater than the roles required of them. And some of his descriptions of red brick, row house Baltimore neighborhoods are so lyrical, they reminded me of the late Irving Howe's great memoir about New York, A Walker in the City. But for some reason, Ward decided that this quiet, coming-of-age story needed some zany characters, and so he has the young Tommy move into a commune populated by a con artist, a horny ex-nun, and a beautiful beat poetess. In other subplots, an autistic child is miraculously cured, and a mobster is laminated to death. Ay, ay, ay. In his acknowledgments, Ward thanks his editor, but I can't figure out why. His novel needed a merciless red pen. Dyspeptic culture critic Jonathan Yardley claims the decline of the publishing industry has wiped out that Maxwell Perkins type of editor who had the time to really fine-tune a manuscript. Much as I hate to agree with Yardley on anything, I think his is one theory that explains this crop of disappointing novels. King of Cards is certainly the best of the bunch, but that should be a greater compliment than it is.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.